Everyone has questions. Why am I here? Where will I go when I die? Is there really truth? But not everyone has biblical answers. Welcome to The Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study the Bible to draw closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here is Pastor Tom Brock.
Welcome to The Pastor Study. Now and then on this show, I do a heresy update. The word heresy means false teaching, because I want to inform people about the heretical false teachings that have invaded Christian denominations. I'm a Lutheran, so a lot of this is going to be Lutheran stuff, but the same demons have invaded the United Church of Christ, the Episcopal Church USA, the PCUSA Presbyterians, the United Methodists, and the Disciples of Christ. So, if you're a Lutheran or a Presbyterian, you can stay a Lutheran or Presbyterian because there are good biblical alternatives to the heretical denomination that you might be a part of. So let's pray, and this will be difficult. Some of this stuff you're not going to believe, but I urge you to go to Facebook and type in Pastor Tom Brock. I've got it all documented there, but this is all accurate stuff you're going to hear. Let's pray first. Father, we want to pray for the church, your denomination, so many of which are compromising the scriptures, are following the world instead of the word. And God, we would pray that you'd speak to us and just bring everyone to a deeper knowledge of fighting for the truth. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, 500 years ago, Martin Luther was kicked out of the Catholic Church, and the Lutheran Church was founded on sola scriptura, that the Bible alone is our highest authority, and sola fide, that only faith in Christ can save us. So for 500 years, the Christian churches and the Lutheran churches have taught the only way you're saved is by faith in Christ alone, sola fide. Well, not anymore. The big liberal branch of Lutheranism in the United States is called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. It's not evangelical. I think it's almost stopped being Lutheran. I don't know that it's even a church, but they're in America. And the ELCA Lutheran Church has a head bishop by the name of Elizabeth Eaton. She was asked by a Chicago newspaper, "Is there a hell?" Her response, "There may be, but I think it's empty." Her belief, it sounds like everybody goes to heaven. You don't have to have faith in Christ alone to be saved. Everybody's going to make it. The ELCA had their big assembly a few months ago where they came together and they had a Buddhist on stage, a Jew, a Muslim, and the liberals were trying to pass through an interfaith resolution stating, "We don't know what God thinks of non-Christian religions." God bless some guy who got to the microphone and said, basically, "What do you mean we don't know? Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the only way to heaven. Of course we know that Christ is the only way to be saved." They voted him down 97%, and the liberal resolution went through. This is called universalism. It's the old heresy that everybody goes to heaven. According to the Bible, no, you don't. It's only faith in Christ that saves. Now, I am a part of a Missouri Synod Lutheran congregation. The Missouri Synod is much more biblical and conservative than the liberal ELCA. But I'm driving in a snowy day to my Missouri Synod Lutheran church. It was snowed out. It was closed, so I couldn't go there. So on my way back home, I stopped and I attended an ELCA Lutheran church. The pastor gets in the pulpit to preach on Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If we confess with our lips Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And the pastor says, "But what if you don't confess Jesus is Lord? And what if you don't in your heart believe in him? Does that mean you'll not be saved?" And the pastor said, "Well, not necessarily." And I felt like screaming, "Yes, necessarily." Ugh. That's the big false teaching today. It's called universalism. Let's move on. the most recent bandwagon going through society that the churches are jumping on is called transgenderism. For instance, recently a liberal ELCA bishop married an ELCA Lutheran vicar to an ELCA Lutheran pastor. And the bishop called the ceremony a glimpse of heaven. Periodically, the 65 ELCA Lutheran bishops come together for a conference. At their recent conference, they brought in a woman who is married to another woman to train them in sexual orientation and transgenderism. One ELCA synod recently had a gathering of junior high students, and they put over the junior high students a transgender chaplain. There is an ELCA bishop out in Montana. She recently retweeted that, quote, "The Salvation Army is a homophobic, transphobic, and uncaring garbage organization." And this bishop uses the F word. And in other words, if you're not on board with transgenderism, even the Salvation Army now is the devil. It's uncaring and transphobic. The ELCA had an historic thing happen recently. They ordained their first Latina transgender pastor. Now, this is a man who presents himself as a woman. And he told his story, and in his story, he called Jesus an SOB. There's an ELCA congregation out east, and they had a drag queen story time for the children of the church. A different ELCA congregation out east hosted a queer Christmas pageant. The recent ELCA assembly that I told you about passed a resolution stating that they're going to educate the denomination about transgenderism and the broad varieties of gender identity. And at that assembly, they also voted to celebrate the 10 years ago the ELCA decided to start ordaining practicing impenitent homosexuals, perform gay weddings, etc. And you should have seen the people, the pastors, get to the microphone and announce their preferred pronouns before they spoke. Now, I've spoken on this before, but let me just bring in another, just to remind you, 2 years ago, 31,000 ELCA Lutheran teenagers were at the teen convention. They put before the teenagers Pastor Nadia Bowles-Weber, radical pastor, and she had the 31,000 teenagers repeat after her, quote, "I renounce the lie that queerness is anything other than beauty." At the same convention, they put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl, and this is a pastor's child. It's a boy who looks like a girl. They put him on stage to promote transgenderism. Well, 2 years later, that boy is now 13 years old. Disney and Marvel Comics have come together to present him, I refuse to say her, as a hero, and they have a storyline about him, and they have the ELCA has publicized that coming up. And then I read, the ELCA healthcare plan has given hormone blockers to this 13-year-old boy to prevent him from developing naturally. The ELCA healthcare plan paid for by offering dollars. Is that from hell? The ELCA healthcare plan not only pays for abortion for any reason, it now pays for sex change operations. If you're an ELCA Lutheran, that is reason enough to leave that denomination for a more biblical church. Luther Seminary here in St. Paul, Minnesota, I attended Luther Seminary a while ago, had two transgender worship services in the same week to commemorate National Transgender Day of Remembrance. Earlier, they had another transgender preacher who led the congregation in the Lord's Prayer, "Our Mother, who art in heaven." And that assembly, the ELCA recent assembly, also passed a motion that they want more gender-inclusive and expansive language for God, which means more God the Mother talk. Now, let's talk about my seminary a little more. I graduated way back in 1979 from Luther Seminary. Back then, it was the most conservative and largest of the ELCA seminaries. Back then, it was moderate to liberal. Today, it's radically liberal. Let me tell you some recent things that have happened at my seminary. Luther Seminary had a Native American schmudging service recently. A Native American preacher burned a plant and waved a feather over the plant to get the smoke to go around. And she explained that smudging releases the energies within yourself. And then she led the congregation to exhale, inhale. This is cleansing you. Then she had the congregation pray to the north, south, east, and west to pattern her prayers after Native American spirituality. She told people, I'm a hybrid, I'm a Christian, and I worship Native American spirituality. Now, years ago, when I was still in the ELCA, they did this at one of our conventions in Minnesota, and they had people turn to the north, south, east, and west to pray like the Native Americans. I refused, and so did other people. But I got to the microphone, and I said, I'm German. My ancestors worship Thor and Woden. What, are we going to incorporate that next and have Odin worship at our next service? I went home to my church, and I told them what happened at that convention. A Native American woman, dear Christian woman from my church, came up afterwards, tears in her eyes, and said, Pastor Brock, they're trying to get us to go back to what Jesus saved me from. Another thing that happened at Luther Seminary, they brought in a womanist feminist preacher who had all the seminarians stand up in a big circle holding hands. Now imagine that you are in the pushy womb of God. That's my seminary. Let's move on. Let's talk about the ELCA National Magazine. Way back in 2009, when the ELCA decided to ordain practicing homosexuals, the conservatives said, but you're conservative, you will also be honored and respected. Nope, they won't put the conservative view in the Lutheran magazine anymore. It's banned. But in a recent article, the Lutheran magazine had a Lutheran pastor say this, quote, Jesus undoubtedly threw a tantrum or two and grew up into a teenager with occasional rebellious and haughty moments. I'm convinced Jesus didn't pop out of his mom's womb programmed to always do the right and perfect thing. This last sentence may unnerve some Lutherans. Well, you better believe it does. Because listen, if Jesus was rebellious, then he sinned. And if Jesus sinned, then he has to pay for his own sins on the cross. He can't pay for ours. There goes our salvation. This is kind of a newer thing. The atonement, that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins, even that is being attacked by some pastors in these liberal denominations because they think it's divine child abuse. For God the Father to punish Jesus for our sins is divine child abuse. An ELCA pastor wrote this recently, and I'm going to read his statement and my response. Here's what the pastor said. God had an anger problem. God needs someone to forsake and abuse, someone to take his wrath out upon. We are the ones that should be beaten, but Jesus comes and gets abused in our place. And then he says, God didn't kill Jesus, we did. God wasn't angry. Love, love, love. God's a God of love. I responded, Isaiah 53, yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him, the Christ. He has put him to grief for as our offering for guilt. In Romans chapter 1, all of the Gentiles are put under the wrath of God in chapter 1 of Romans. All the Jews are put under the wrath of God in chapter 2 of Romans. And then Paul the Apostle brings in Jesus and the atonement in chapter 3 of Romans to save us all. Paul writes this, we shall be saved by Christ from the wrath of God. The wrath of God, hell, is a real thing, Romans 5. And Jesus delivers us from the wrath to come, 1 Thessalonians 1:10. When even the cross is attacked, that Jesus died on the cross in our place to pay for our sins, when you don't believe that, I don't know that you're a Christian anymore. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, that's the basic, that Christ died on the cross and rose from the dead. You got to believe that to be saved. And we have professors and pastors who don't believe that anymore. Let's talk about the Lutheran ELC colleges. Augsburg in Minneapolis, St. Olaf in Northville, Gustavus Adolphus, Concordia, Moorhead, Minnesota. I would send no one to our Lutheran colleges. And again, it's not just Lutheran. The Presbyterian Church USA College, United Methodist Colleges, a lot of them have gone over the cliff. For instance, Augustana Lutheran College in Sioux Falls recently brought in a woman pastor who believes, quote, no abortion is immoral. That's who they brought in to Augustana. Well, let me just kind of share one or two last things, and then we'll go to Q&A. But you maybe have heard this, but just in case you haven't, way back in 2009, the ELCA Lutheran Church was going to vote on whether to start letting practicing homosexual pastors be ordained in the ELCA. For 500 years, the Lutheran Church has said no to that, but the year was 2009. The ELCA is going to vote on whether to start affirming gay sex, basically. The convention was held in downtown Minneapolis. Lutherans came from all over the country. Across the street from the convention center is the historic Central Lutheran Church that has become extremely liberal. They set up beer tents on the lawn of Central Lutheran across the street from the convention center because the gay lobby was working the convention center and housed somewhat in Central Lutheran Church. 3 o'clock comes and they're going to start the debate on whether to affirm homosexuality. Out of nowhere comes a tornado, tears part of the roof off of the convention center, tears the beer tents up at Central Lutheran, and takes the huge historic iron cross on the top of the steeple, and the tornado turns it upside down. The convention was called off for a few hours. They went back in. Some pastor gets to the microphone and says, I hope the weather isn't God's comment on what we're doing here today, ha ha. And they went ahead and passed the pro-gay resolution by 66.6%. And the ELCA has been shrinking in numbers and in money ever since. It's a dying denomination. All right, well, let's get to the final question. What do we do about all this? I never thought, I was raised Lutheran, I never thought this church would become so bonkers in my lifetime. I'll say it again, this ain't my grandma's Lutheran church. So what's the cure for all this? Well, the cure is what Martin Luther said 500 years ago, sola scriptura. The Bible alone is our highest authority, not what some psychiatrist thinks, not what the opinion polls of the society say. The Bible alone is, if the Bible says Jesus is the only way to heaven, John 14:6, then he is. If the Bible says sex outside of marriage, abortion, homosexuality are sin, then they are. And if the whole world says otherwise, Martin Luther would say sola scriptura. The Bible alone is our final authority, not human opinion. You know, there's an old saying, the Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. And just the opposite is happening in these liberal denominations. The denominations are falling apart. They're shrinking. They're dying. Why? Because they don't have a Bible that's falling apart. They don't read the Bible anymore. Now, the tricky thing is, these liberal heretical pastors and bishops, they'll tell you they believe in the Bible. Well, they believe in part of the Bible. I remember years ago when I was still in the ELCA, where we were going to have a convention where the liberals were going to promote the gay stuff and the conservatives were going to get up and said, no, that's not biblical. But some conservative pastors pushed me out the door and said, go talk to Pastor so-and-so across town and see if you can come to some kind of agreement so we don't have to have a liberal conservative fight on the convention floor. And with much chagrin, I drove over to his very liberal church that has promoted the gay stuff for many, many years. I sat down with this pastor who since has died, and I put before him Romans chapter 1. And I said, it's so clear. Romans chapter 1 so clearly teaches that homosexual behavior is a sin. His response, we have a higher insight on that issue today than the Apostle Paul had in the first century. In other words, I'm right, and the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit, who inspired Romans chapter 1, they're wrong. I mean, did you hear that? And this pastor would say, oh, I believe the Bible's inspired. Well, but it's got errors. And, well, which are the errors? Well, whatever I disagree with, ultimately. I'm going to close with this. A woman became a Christian. And she goes to work, and one of her friends heard about it. Well, what's the difference, she says, between you and me now that you're a Christian? And the woman said, one letter. You love the world. I love the Word. I want to encourage you, if you're an ELCA Lutheran, PCUSA Presbyterian, United Church of Christ, Episcopal Church USA, Disciples of Christ, or United Methodist, it's time for you to leave these denominations and join a denomination that loves not the world, but that loves the Word. There's an old Lutheran hymn that we used to sing in the church, and it didn't make it into the latest ELCA hymnal for some reason, but it goes like this. Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrestle the kingdom from your son and bring to naught all he hath done. Protect thy Christendom that we may sing thy praise eternally. Wow, do we need to sing that hymn again in all of these churches. Sola Scriptura. Read your Bible. And you probably need to change your church if you're in one of these denominations. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study where we now ask Pastor Brock to share with us his knowledge of Scripture and his insights to answer questions we have regarding the Bible, our Lord, and our everyday walk with Him. Pastor Brock, why are the United Methodists splitting?
Jackie, I recently, like just today, got off the phone with the United Methodist pastor. He's a conservative. United Methodists are in a different category because even though a lot of the clergy and the bishops of the United Methodist Church are liberal and want to affirm homosexuality, the Methodists from Africa and Asia are all against that. They get a vote at the American conventions. So you've got all of these liberal bishops and pastors for years wanting to go in the pro-gay direction, and they can't because of the internationals. So what's going to happen, they've been in the news, in May, in Minneapolis, they're going to have a national convention, and they're probably going to have a split. And the conservatives will go their way, the liberals will go their way. Sadly, the liberals have owned the United Methodist seminaries for many years, so probably a lot of stuff is going to stay, sadly, in the hands of the liberals, and the conservatives will start their own denomination. It's sad, but he said, the conservatives want to preach the gospel and bring salvation to people. They don't want to spend the rest of their ministries fighting the liberals who are promoting the LGBT agenda, so they just want to go and preach the gospel. So I would ask you, pray for the United Methodist Church, especially between now and May, that God will have his way.
So, Pastor Brock, when did things become so liberal? Because haven't these denominations, how did these denominations become cults?
Yeah, I mean, Jackie, you and I were raised Lutheran. None of this was going on when we were kids. If you would have told me that the Lutheran denomination, the ELCA branch of it, would be promoting transgenderism, homosexuality, saying that there isn't a hell, that there's more than one way to get to heaven, I would have said you're crazy. It's become the reality of the ELCA Lutheran Church. I graduated a ELCA seminary in 1979. Back then, there were some professors that didn't believe, for instance, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Now there's a lot of them. And just slowly, starting maybe in the 1960s, things got liberal and liberal. People stopped believing the Bible's the infallible Word of God. And today we've got the mess in the denominations.
Okay, so what are some good biblical denominations?
All right, let's say you're an ELCA Lutheran and you know you need to leave because you don't want your offering dollars to pay for abortion and sex change operations. Well, there's the Missouri Synod Lutheran denomination. There's the Association of Free Lutheran Denominations. There's the LCMC Church, the New North American Lutheran Church. These are much more biblical denominations where you can safely give your offering dollars.
But shouldn't we be staying in an erring denomination and trying to change it from within?
And Jackie, you know we did that for many years at Hope Lutheran Church where I serve. We stayed in the ELCA, tried to turn it around. When they went ahead and went off the cliff and decided to affirm homosexual behavior and transgenderism, that's when, I mean, when we discovered that they're paying for abortion for any reason, in the healthcare plan, funded by your offering dollars, I think if you're an ELCA Lutheran, you're not going to turn this ship around. If you're PCUSA Presbyterian, United Methodist even now, but especially United Church of Christ, Episcopal Church USA, time to leave those denominations for a more biblical branch like the Presbyterian Church in America or the Orthodox Episcopal Church. There are good alternatives for you to go to.
So is there something a person can do to make sure the church they're attending is good?
Yeah. You know, ask your pastor. Pastor, do you believe in hell? Do you believe Jesus is the only way to heaven? Do you believe the Bible is the infallible word of God? What do you believe about homosexuality and abortion and premarital sex? And I've said this before, if you get, well, that's a complex issue, then you want another church. You want a good, clear pastor who says wrong is wrong, right is right, and Jesus is the only way to be saved.
Tom, do you have anything you want to say?
Well, yeah, everybody, I just, again, I have a burden that if you're in one of these denominations, you're giving them your money, you're not being fed spiritually, it really is time to find another church. Pray about it. Make sure you're going somewhere. Every Christian needs to be part of a church regularly worshiping, but you might have to change churches. I know that's hard. I get letters from people, Pastor Brock, I've been in this church for 60 years. I know, but sometimes you got to put your loyalty to Jesus, always. You have to put your loyalty to Jesus as number one, and your loyalty to your denomination way number two. We'll see you next time on The Pastor's Study.
Thank you for watching The Pastor's Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the gospel of Christ because of our generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org. Or write The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
If you've been blessed by The Pastor's Study, would you consider a tax-deductible gift to help us reach more people with the good news of Jesus Christ? You can donate at our website, pastorsstudy.org, two S's, or mail a check to The Pastor's Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the Lord bless you and have a wonderful week.